made halfway through, so now we're on the other side of the hill. You know, when we're looking at chapters 11 and 12, we talk about this idea of being a flashback. And John getting to see, from heaven's point of view, some of the events that had already happened. You know, from the fall of Satan and so forth. And then even Christ being born. And Satan trying to hunt him down and destroy him. And when we start for chapter 13, we go all the way through to 19, there's a shift here now. Now what we're going to see is events of the future from John's point of view. But what's going to happen is these events are going to overlap more. So we've seen the sort of sequential events as we get through things like the opening of the seals. They happen in an order. The blasting of the trumpets kind of happened in an order. But what we're going to see here in 13 through 19 is different points of view of the same events that are occurring. So we're going to see events from the earth's perspective. We're going to see events from the heaven's perspective, etc. So please keep in mind, it's going to look like, well, I just heard that before. Well, you did, but you heard it from someone else's point of view. So John's getting a chance to see these events and pull from different angles. So today we're not going to make it all the way through to 19. That would be me just reading it extremely fast to go from 13 to 19. We're going to take 13 and 14. I was going to try and fit in 15, but there's so much to talk about in 14 that I just didn't feel like it was there. So today we're going to start with chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. Now, as a recap, what we had just looked at is we just looked at Satan, the dragon, and his hatred for the woman. And the woman being Israel that gave birth to Christ. And she was hurried off and kept safe. Revelation 13:1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. Now that's a transitional for us because we're changing from the idea of him being shown a sign, which was the flashback, to now he is in the middle of some events that are happening. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now we're going to be talking about the beast from the sea. Now keep in mind what we've already looked through. We've already looked through this horde of demonic locusts that came out of the earth. Okay. We've already taken a look at these horsemen, these demonic horsemen. Thousands upon thousands. More than we have horses here on earth today. That were demonic, that attacked the earth as well. We also went through the 2 witnesses that had their time to witness to the earth, and they had the ability to call down fire and any of the judgments as they were preaching to the world. And who killed those 2 witnesses? Do you remember? Was it the people of the earth revolting against them? Because they didn't have the power to overcome them. Who killed the 2 witnesses? Do you remember? What's that? Demons from the pit came out and they overwhelmed the witnesses and they were able to kill them. So the world has seen demonic activity by this point. We're not talking about people shrouded. You know, oh, this is symbolism of some human. They've already been revealed to all this supernatural. So when we talk about this beast coming out of the sea, we can apply Occam's razor. Logan, what is Occam's razor? Did I teach you that in school? No? Okay. How about you, Becker? Alright. Do you know it? Paige? No? Okay. Alright, so Occam's razor is what is the most simplest explanation is the most likely explanation. So if I look up here at this roof and I see this brown spot. Now, It is possible that a whole bunch of squirrels got together and they brought a whole bunch of water in their mouth for 20 days and spit right in that spot over and over and over. That's conceivable, right? I could think that could happen. But is that likely what happened? What's the simplest explanation for why there's a white spot or a brown spot right up there? There's a leak right there in the roof, right? So Occam's razor is this principle that the simplest explanation is the most likely explanation. Now, after the world has seen all this demonic activity, does it make sense there be some sort of a interpreted version of what this beast from the sea is? They've seen all of this demonic activity already. Why would God have to use more symbolism on it? So we could take the simplest explanation could be this really is a beast from the sea. It really is a demonic entity. If I go back to 1979, somebody was running for president of the United States for the Republican Party. Who was it? Those of you who remember. Ended up winning the Republican Party in 1980. Reagan, right? All right, so Ronald Reagan, what was his middle name? I think it's Calvin. Ronald, R-O-N-A-L-D, that's six. Calvin, C-A-L-V-I-N, that's six. Reagan, R-E-A-G-A-N, that's six. They thought Ronald Reagan was the beast from the sea. Now, Ronald Reagan has come and died. But you would have saw that across some evangelists back then. We've got the Antichrist here in America, 666, he's our president. Does that line up? No, doesn't really. So why would we take that sort of interpretation? Well, people want to misuse the Bible for their own good. It boosts viewers. Today it would be, I got more hits on my website because I'm talking about some sort of a controversial topic. And the Bible warns of this. There will be people that mislead in the end times. So when it says, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now what we're going to see here is we're going to see a reflection, a mimicry of God and the Holy Trinity. So we have Satan, the dragon, who will try and set himself up as a mockery of God because he thought him to be equal with God. That was his way of falling, right? His pride was he thought him to be of equal of God. So Satan, in this reflection, this poor mimicry of the Trinity, sets himself up as God the Father. Now he gives his authority to the beast, just the same as God the Father gives his authority to Christ. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? Now Christ died on our sins, or died on the cross for our sins. He died and then came back. He conquered death by completely dying. Now this mockery of Christ, this antichrist, doesn't have the power to defeat death, but to delay it See, this beast has been mortally wounded, but still alive. That's different from what Christ has done, because this is a mimicry. This beast doesn't have the power of Christ. It's the Antichrist. But this evil triumvirate, this evil triad, tries to reflect God the Father, the Son, and you'll see even the Holy Spirit. So it's important for this beast to try and set himself up to look similar to Christ. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe and tongue and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Let's look at that last verse for a second. What do you think that means, that warning? He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword will be killed by the sword. What's that a warning to? Okay, so we know that what's happened is God has taken early on in these seals. God has sealed the 144,000. He's put marks on their forehead, right? They have not been removed from the earth yet. The witnesses were there to speak on the earth, and some believed on what they said. So there's a remnant here of believers on earth, and those that have been marked. Now, during this time, when the Antichrist sets himself up, he's been given authority to make war with them. Now, this verse ends with, here's the patience and the faith of the saints. So this is a warning to the saints that are going to be left on the earth at this time. And the warning being, if these saints, these 144,000, if they take up swords and try and fight back against the Antichrist, they'll be killed by swords. If they put into captivity any of the army of the Antichrist, they themselves will be put in captivity. So it's God's giving a warning to his remnant that's going to be there on earth saying, listen, the way this is going to work is whatever you dish out is going to come right back at you. That's how they're going to take it down. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So we see the third piece now of this unholy trinity. This is a reflection of the Holy Spirit. And what it does is it witnesses of the power of the beast from the water. It witnesses of the power of the Antichrist to the people in the world. It gives them gifts. It shows them signs and powers. It is a reflection of the Holy Spirit in this evil trinity. It causes people to worship the Antichrist. Just like the Holy Spirit leads people to Christ, the beast from the earth will lead people to Antichrist. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Again, Occam's razor. You've got demonic cords coming out from hell. You have the Antichrist demonstrating his power to overcome death. Delay death, really. You've got a beast from the earth showing power to make even statues talk and preach for this Antichrist. And they ask for people to be marked with a sign on their forehead and their hand. Now they demand it. You won't be able to buy or sell without this mark on the forehead or the hand. Now to add just a little bit more to it, I'm going to jump ahead to Revelation 14:6. As this is happening, because remember I said this is all occurring in different point of views. Revelation 14:6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of her wrath. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now when the beasts come up and they say, get this mark, put it on your hand or on your forehead, this mark that symbolizes that you're one of us, at this point, angels are going to fly across the entire earth, three of them, and they will speak in a loud voice and warn everyone on the earth, don't do it. Give glory to God. This is your last chance. If you take this mark, you're going to have all of these judgments come down upon you. Now, Occam's razor, does it make sense that this is an electric chip that they put inside of you? That some technology man has? That doesn't make sense. This is going to be something spiritual. Yeah, it may be physically seen. But we give too much glory to man when we think we're going to invent this thing. This mark. These are demonic creatures. They don't need technology. But we see it. People on TV and people on the radio, oh, watch out for this. Don't let your kids have this. Be careful. The technology to read where you are has been out there for decades. Heck, we've been messing with it at Rockwell College for the longest time. Does that mean we're in legion with the Antichrist? This will be demonic. chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Antichrist wants to have this mark because he sees God do it. They're trying to reflect everything. They're trying to say, you know what? This Jesus that you believe in, he raised from the dead. Well, guess what? I should be dead right now, and I'm not. This God that you believe in, he had you get a stamp on your forehead. We can do that too. You saw what we did to those witnesses. Yeah, they were able to call down fire. We can do that. You don't have to follow this guy. We got the power to take him. Those angels flying above, why are they so high up there? They're afraid to land. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harps, harpists playing their harps. They sang as if it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. No one can learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who are not defiled with the women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. I read from you from 14:6 already, so let's go to 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You see, everyone on earth will have to make that choice. Do they believe in these creatures, this dragon and these two beasts, that they have the power to overcome God? After everything that they've seen, are they willing to take the mark? Or will they endure in faith in the Lord? And if they endure in faith in the Lord, what's going to happen to them? If they choose not to take the mark on their forehead or on their arm from the beast, what will happen to them? They'll be killed. That's the choice they'll have to make. Verse 14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he sat on the cloud and thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, who also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' riders, for 1,600 furlongs. these events are all going to happen from different point of views that we're going to be looking at from chapters 13 through 19. Now, this first collection was primarily from the point of view of the demons, the demonic side. When these angels reap in with their sickles, it's going to overlap with the bowl of judgments that we're going to get into next week. Because they're going to be reaping the earth through these judgments. This morning I read from Daniel. Now Daniel was given an account of the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, and what he was going to do. Now Daniel's account was more than 700 years earlier than John. There are people out there that believe the book of Revelation happened about 80 AD. That this was judgments upon Israel when they got sacked by the Romans. That doesn't hold up to things like Occam's razor. We don't have any records of demons coming out of the earth. The Antichrist establishing himself with the power to make statues talk. These are things yet to happen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how it highlights areas where we may have been mistaken. We may have fallen subject to believing in rumors. Lord, your word endures. Heavenly Father, as we go out into the world, please continue to give us that sense of urgency. Having a glimpse of what's ahead. Just like the scroll that was sweet in our mouths, your victory is sweet to us, Lord, but when it hits our stomach, just exactly how much is to come, it's bitter. Remind us of the bitter part too, Lord, as we reach out to our friends and our family. You give us insight of what lies ahead. And Father, we pray for those that are still on this earth. When that day comes, Lord, those that have to make that choice, do I take this mark and be able to feed my family? And I believe in you. Even at the cost of my death and those that I love. And then, Father, we pray for those that have to make that choice, Lord, that you grant them a boldness of heart, the strength to endure and to make that difficult choice on faith. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Time for our invitation.